The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back as we head into Hour 2 this Friday, September 11th of our daily three-hour tour. It's a delight to welcome Erin Perini. She is the Director of Press Communications for the Donald Trump reelection campaign. Erin, welcome to the airwaves of Phoenix.
Thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. You betcha. Are you on the road today? Where are you working out of today?
I am currently in Iowa. We just finished a three-day bus tour out here. We are now on the bus and driving ahead to Wisconsin for another three-day bus tour out there.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. The last hour I was listening to, I was taking some calls from folks here in Phoenix, and they were saying, you know, a lot of them were active in 2016 as well as 2018, of course, but they were saying that the level of support for the Republican candidate for president, also in this case Donald J. Trump as 2016, is much higher than they saw in 2016. And I said, what's interesting about that, Erin, maybe you can comment on this. What's interesting about that, the level of support on the ground here seems to be higher. At the same time, we are seeing survey after survey after survey showing Republicans are a little more hesitant to share their views, showing that Republicans are a little less likely to tell the truth when a pollster calls. So if we have the combination of suppression with an evidently more vocal and on-the-ground support of Donald Trump, I'm thinking things are looking really, really good.
Well, you're right to think that things do look good, and it's true. We have the most vocal, active, amazing supporters for President Trump, and it's easy to see why, since he has truly so delivered for the American people in 4 years in a way that no president has ever done before. You know, he's not a politician. So when Donald Trump made those promises in 2016 about a booming economy, about better trade deals, about bigger paychecks and more opportunity, he delivered those things because he's not a politician. He's a fighter for the American people. And so you see that, but you also see people who are nervous about that because you hear about the violence that's instilled against Donald Trump supporters.
Yeah.
You hear about people who are,
that's right.
There was a black supporter in Milwaukee who was murdered. You hear, you know, when I was in New Hampshire for the primary, a 16-year-old kid was standing outside a polling place waving a Donald Trump sign, which they have, you know, everything very neatly set up in New Hampshire, one side for the Republicans, the other for a Democrat. A guy came up and slapped the kid in the face. I mean, you hear about that. You hear people getting fired and that they get ostracized. So yeah, of course. But you know what? Here's the thing. On election day, it's such a personal choice. Are you going to go? Are you going to vote for the guy who is unafraid, who's a fighter, who's a bodyguard for this nation? Or are you going to go vote for the guy who doesn't seem to know what's going on? I mean, President Trump is fighting for the American people every single day. So those who are vocal are more vocal than ever. And those who are a bit more timid, they're still going to show up on election day because they still know they have a fighter in this president.
I think you're right, and I want to circle back to that in a moment. Before I get to that, I wanted to say something about what you said about a man who kept his promises, a candidate who kept his promises. The ones you mentioned, of course, and then the ones that he didn't mention that are, I guess, being downplayed by the media, but are quite remarkable by any objective standard. Peace in the Middle East. I was fairly active in 2016. I don't remember him saying he was going to achieve peace in the Middle East. Today we have yet another Arab Muslim country signing a peace accord at the U.S. behests with the State of Israel. This now makes at least two, with more in the coming. This is a fantastic occurrence that has been what a golden ring that every president has tried to achieve since the last, I don't know, 50, 60 years. He's done it.
Oh, I mean, that's right. And it's two peace deals in the Middle East in 30 days.
Yeah.
The one thing President Trump did say is that he would stand with our ally Israel.
Yes, he did.
And he
proved that by doing
them.
That, you get peace, not by appeasing Israel's enemies. Yes, you're right.
That's right. He stood up, and he has stood up to China, and he has stood up to all of these foreign adversaries, and he has made sure that he has kept his promises. If it's defending our ally of Israel or making sure that we're holding China to account, this president has delivered. He just delivered economic normalization with some Western European countries today as well. I mean, this is a foreign policy dominant president who has done things that are absolutely unbelievable by every other measure. But you want to know why they're unbelievable? Because you keep everybody keeps trying to put him in the lens, Donald Trump in the lens of a politician.
Yeah.
He's not in a politician.
Yeah.
And that's why he's getting stuff done. Everybody, you can't put your picture at the head of your foreign policy and getting these deals done. Jared helped get these deals done. He doesn't think the way that politicians are supposed to, and look at what the results are.
Yeah, look at him. It's an amazing thing. The book will have to be written someday on his foreign policy based on common sense, because it was an odd thing that politicians and political aspirants for years said, well, the way to get peace is to not be on the side of our ally. He said, the hell with that. The way to get peace is to be on the side of our ally. And son of a gun, there it is. The way to stop terrorism is to kill terrorists, not to wring our hands and let people like Soleimani live and prognosticate about a coming World War III or World War IV by ridding the world of one of the master terrorists. So he takes him out, and son of a gun, no World War III, no World War IV, right? I mean, it's just common sense.
Yeah, absolutely. He said, if we can defeat the ISIS caliphate, we will. And he did. People are so shocked that doing what you say you will do actually yields the results it was supposed to, because we have been lied to by DC politicians for so many years.
Yeah.
The American people have a very clear choice to make. Is it America first or is it appeasement? I mean, Joe Biden actually supports normalization. He said a rising China is good for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was thinking, but it's a clear contrast.
Well, for everybody, if they have the name Biden attached to their first name, it turns out it's could very good work for them. Aaron, if I could ask you, though, about something you did reference. You have this guy, he's out there every day, he's taking a lot of questions, no teleprompters, nothing like that. You were tweeting about this earlier, you had made reference to it. It's an odd thing to run against someone it's got to be a delicate issue of sorts, but everyone knows it. I mean, even the media on Joe Biden's side knows. They just know he's not up to the task, right? I mean, how do you handle this delicately? Or do you not? You just say, the hell with it, we're going to point it out. I don't know. It's an uncomfortable place for me to be in a little bit.
Well, I think that's what we've been saying on the campaign. It is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It is uncomfortable to have to talk about declining faculty.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? That's not a comfortable conversation.
No.
It's certainly not a comfortable conversation for family members.
But it's so evident, right? And they did this, so maybe they're at fault.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had a staffer go on national television yesterday, and he wouldn't answer the question
about
whether or not boss uses a teleprompter for an interview. Here's the thing. This is what Americans have to remember. It is 3 a.m. The world is in crisis. Who do you want answering the phone at the White House? Is it the man who is unafraid, a bodyguard for our country and a fighter for our people? Or do you want someone who needs a teleprompter for his answers to interview questions?
Right. I think that is the right way to look at it, or the right way to speak about it, because it is so evident. And yet we can't pretend it doesn't exist, because the stakes are awfully high. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up saying stupid things, and occasionally things he says, are against his own interest. Today he was you probably saw in his interview with Jake Tapper today, he admitted that the USMCA, another Trump accomplishment, was actually better than the NAFTA that he himself had voted for.
Well, yeah, and he also said that he didn't support NAFTA, even though he voted for it.
Yeah, right?
He doesn't remember his own voting record, right? Like, I understand it's a 47-year career, and that's a long time to remember your votes, but you should remember the trade deal that you were one of the biggest cheerleaders for that cost Americans jobs, and that we've been talking about the entire time on this campaign. I mean, here's the thing. Joe Biden has served as a United States senator for a very long time. He served as vice president, and he's clearly always wanted to be president. This just clearly isn't the time for that.
Yeah, and it wasn't the time in 1987 when he tried, and it wasn't the time last go-around in 2007, 2008 when he tried, because he's just not up to the task. He's just not. He was, as a friend of mine said, he was mediocre in his prime, and he's well past his prime. Maybe that's a line you guys can use. Is that best? Mediocre in his prime, and he's well past his prime. Well, Aaron Perrine, we love the work you guys are doing, and feel free to check in anytime and boost our spirits. We're boosted pretty high here, but we don't want to take anything for granted.
That's right. Everybody's got to stay engaged and stay involved. Everybody, it's a big fight for President Trump, but he's had our back. We got to have his.
You betcha. Aaron Perrine, thank you for stopping by, checking in, I should say. Have fun in Iowa. Have fun on the rest of your travels, and keep us surprised, okay?
We will. Thank you.
Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. You want to know why I'm so energetic? Why I feel very confident about my immunity levels? Because it's boosted with Balance of Nature. Every single day I take Balance of Nature. Sometimes when I'm operating on very little sleep, I'll take a little extra because it gives you the energy and the powerful kind of disposition that caffeine doesn't. Caffeine, you know, you feel jittery and stuff. You don't feel that way with Balance of Nature. You feel balanced naturally with bananas, blueberries, oranges, carrots, spinach, tens of thousands of vital nutrients in a single daily dose. And they're extending their great offer right now, free shipping and 35% off any new preferred order of their fruits and veggies. Go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code BALANCE or give them a call at 800-246-8751 to energize yourself naturally with the fruits and veggies of Balance of Nature. Larry's in Phoenix. Hello, Larry.
Hey, good afternoon.
How are you? It's been a while.
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good.
Doing great. Thank you very much, and hopefully you are also.
Yes, sir.
Getting the dogs out there running.
Yeah.
You know, the cool weather.
Yeah, not running as much as I would like, but it's my fault, not theirs. I have taken more to biking lately and throwing the ball with them to get them their exercise. So, anyway, I have a little bit of a knee issue, so I've been doing biking more than running lately.
That's all right. You'll get it in shape.
I hope so.
All right. Well, I do, too. I know you enjoy it. The reason why I was calling was following up on your on question about our support for President Trump.
Yeah.
And compared to, and do we think he's going to win and why? And, yes, I do believe he's going to win, and I do believe, like you, you know, when you're inside the closet all by yourself, you're jumping for joy because you think it's going to be really big.
Yeah.
But I believe in that. And I believe, especially when I compare the position that we're in right now with the candidate we're running against versus Hillary Clinton versus the unknown of Donald Trump at the time and how many people were really voting against Clinton, I believe, in a lot of aspects, that they just couldn't live with that, even though some Republicans could. And that, as you just covered with Perrine,
Miss Perrine, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he has, unlike politicians, he made commitments and he came through on commitments. And I think that's huge for the people that trusted him enough to give them the vote. And he won. And I think things have changed so much for the world, and Donald Trump is kind of responsible, because I'd like to look at the last year of the previous president and what the international landscape looked like compared to what it looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Where America is and how strong President Trump as a businessman, and I think you're right in that these deals he's making with these countries, it isn't just, hey, get along, everything will be okay. No, I think he's set up to where you can help yourself economically by making these deals, and the common sense end of it comes in, and I think there's a lot to say about that. And so I think that's a lot of it. In this 2020 election with the Democrats, they are running their campaign and I'm not a big fan of baseball analytics, but that's how they're running their campaign. Whichever way the wind blows, their platform changes. And I don't think there's a lot of confidence in that because it's really hard to tell what they
That's an interesting point. You know, that's an interesting point. They saw the major cities of America on fire for months and ignored it totally during their convention until the polls started showing the American people care about it. Then they started talking about it, right? They felt comfortable and confident promoting the Green New Deal all over the place. Then they started falling and tripping all over themselves when it came to fracking because states like Pennsylvania matter. All sorts of things like that are true, Larry. I think you're right about that. I think you are.
Add to that, okay, this polling, okay, which I'm one of those Republicans or voters, Americans. I don't answer the phone. I don't answer questions. I truly believe that who I'm going to vote for, it's my franchise. It's me. You don't need to know. You can find out.
You'll find out in due course, yeah.
Exactly. And at the same time, I believe the Republicans that are answering these things, well, geez, are they telling the truth or are they leading them astray? I would like to have a poll to find out, do Democrats answer polls more honestly or do Republicans answer polls?
Well, I have a survey. There is a survey on that, and it shows that the one I'm thinking of shows 11% of Republicans don't answer honestly, 5-point-something% of Democrats don't. Now, when I read that, it occurred to me, and I think this is really the only objective way to see it. This is not putting a smiley face on it or a shiny face on it. Why would 5% of Democrats lie to a pollster in a culture where every media source and every institution is pushing the Democratic line? I'm betting those are Democrats who are voting for Trump. I'm betting they are.
I'm thinking exactly what you said, because one, as we believe that Republicans are embarrassed or afraid,
yep.
I don't think that's the case. I think we just play it close to the vest and we'll deal with it. I think the same thing is for those 5% of Democrats. They are afraid.
It's about Trump. Yeah, no, it's about it's about Trump. And, you know, those numbers might be totally different if Trump weren't the Republican nominee. But then again, the attitude in America might be totally different if Trump weren't the nominee as well. But I'm convinced it's this kind of stuff that convinces me. And gosh knows, I know Dave was right. We can't be complacent about this or rest on our laurels. You made the point. We can jump up in the air as long as we make sure no one removes the ground below us. You know, we can't be complacent, but the coordinates look pretty darned good and much better than 2016. They just do.
I think Dave is absolutely correct, and I think the only thing Dave feared is why we won't be complacent, is because we know that they do cheat. That's proven.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's why we can't believe that the game is in the bag. You've got to play till the whistle blows, so to speak, and so you keep on, you just keep on and keep on and keep on. But I see so many things. If we look at all the articles this past, I think it's the past couple of weeks that have come up about Republicans, can give you lots of reasons. Top Republicans give you lots of reasons not to vote for Trump. Or, in other words, they're trying to convince Republicans that they shouldn't vote for him.
By the way, who is the – name me a top Republican who's saying this.
Well,
I know they like to put the word top, huh? Do you have one?
Exactly. They're the ones that said we can – they're the same Republicans that said we can deal with Hillary if she wins.
Yeah.
They never were going to vote for Trump anyway.
No.
Who
are these top Republicans? What top Republican?
They're the same as the anonymous.
Yeah,
Trump.
Right. Right. I've seen their names. They're not top Republicans. They're just not. I mean, my gosh, for years I had a guy sending me stuff of Republicans against Trump. And I said, you know, having been in this business and worked in this party for 20 years, I hardly know who these people are. Okay, so a bunch of former governors have come out. Larry, God bless you. Go get them.
Hey, you take care. Have a good one. Good luck with the knee.
Thanks, brother. if you're of the mind or thinking about planning or selling your home, you want the highest possible offer for the sale of your home. You want the agent that has buyers lined up and ready to buy. You don't want to give your home away or leave any money on the table. That's why you want James Wexler of JMG Real Estate. James Wexler guarantees to sell your home at market value, or he'll pay the difference. James can also make you an upfront guaranteed offer within 24 hours of reaching out to him if that's what you would like to do. He'd call the only agent I would call if I needed to sell or wanted to sell my home. James Wexler, 480-386-0711, or visit him at jameswexler.com. That's James Wexler, WEXLER.com. There's a reason the Phoenix Business Journal ranks James the number one selling individual agent in Arizona. Rob is in Surprise. Hello, Rob.
Well, hi, Seth. I'm going to have to go inside because we've got somebody cutting here next door. Interesting stuff today. I have back surgery on Monday, so I had to go to the hospital and get this COVID test. And so they stick this long Q-tip in my nose. It's very uncomfortable and it hurts, but got that done. And then we had a substitute guy to come in and clean our pool today, who turns out to be from Kenosha, Wisconsin, my hometown. And we were talking a little bit, and it turned out he was very pro-Trump. And I thought, well, you know, that's very interesting, because I'm seeing more and more of this stuff, especially with the whole walk-away campaign. Yep. And people that are, you know, moving from the Democrat side who have seen the light. But what I really wanted to mention today was I wanted to, because it's 9/11, one of my former squadron mates, Tom McGinnis, call sign Stout, was the co-pilot in American Airlines Flight 11, who was the first plane that hit the World Trade Center.
Wow.
And then I had another squadron mate whose parents, one of whom the father was a retired rear admiral, was in the airplane that hit the Pentagon.
Oh, my gosh.
And so this whole thing, and my oldest daughter actually posts this every year because she knew Stout. And I just think these people are worthy of mentioning.
Yes, they are.
Because it's a loss. And Stout was a great guy. Family man, had a wife and two kids, got out of the Navy, went through Top Gun, but ended up going to the airlines with United Airlines. And, you know, obviously the rest was history. And we can never forget. We can never forget those who had lost their lives, just like Rick Riscorla. I mean, you know, you mentioned that earlier. And
Who was your friend on 77?
Let's see, 77
flight,
was...
Flight 70, the World Trade Center?
Oh, no, it was Flight 11.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, the other
one. Yeah, it was Tom McGinnis, the co-pilot.
Oh, okay.
Stout, and he had, I guess they kind of cut his throat or something.
Yeah.
And took over the cockpit. But,
yeah. I was trying to think of the other World Trade Center aircraft was AA-77, American Airlines Flight 77, and I didn't know the pilot, but I knew one of the pilot's sisters, Chick Burlingame, Charles Burlingame.
Yeah, Chick Burlingame.
Yeah, I knew his sister Deborah.
Deborah, yeah.
And I remember a haunting interview I had done with her somewhere around 2005, 2006, so three or four years after it, and I asked her, if she missed the memories of 9/11, because already they were fading, you know, they were fading quickly. You know what she said to me? You know what she said to me?
Mm.
I would have never expected it. She said, "I miss the anger."
Yeah,
I miss the anger, the righteous indignation and anger.
Yep, and there are those of us who still have that anger.
Of course.
And we should never let go of that.
Of course.
Because
of course.
That way you can respond accordingly.
Yeah,
anyway, Seth, I hope you have a great weekend.
No, thanks for saying their names, Rob.
You bet.
Thanks
That's
for saying their names. Well, the idea, obviously, is to not only pay tribute, which is important as a virtue itself, but to never forget and to give, you know, to the young here. Think of a generation that's grown up without knowing 9/11 or seeing it. To give, as Shakespeare said, to give to airy abstraction a habitation and a name. It's important that we do that because it did happen and we saw it happen. I guess I was going to say something about this that I can't say. What I was going to say is I think this is our only Rolling Stones song. And it's the only Rolling Stones song I think we have because I understand the lyrics. But the truth is I don't. Or they're not, you know, the British Invasion, the Beatles, you can understand pretty much everything they're saying. What? You can't? What lyric is garbled to you? But you, I don't know what Mick Jagger is saying. I've been running hot, you've got me ticking, going to blow my top. Who knew those were the lyrics? No. No. Anyway, 602-508-0960. I'd love freedom quotes from movies. Someone yesterday, Rob, I guess it was yesterday, was giving us a good one from one of the movies. What was it, Stalag? What movie did he call about? I forget. Anyway, Rick is in from Phoenix. Hi, Rick.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Seth. I totally agree with the conventional predictions for a conventional election that Trump should win by, say, 10 p.m., 12 p.m. in the conventional estimates. However, I don't think the Democrats are going to let that stick. It'll be more like, and I think you mentioned it earlier, is the hanging chads, but it'll be on steroids.
Yeah,
they're going to come in with the mail-ins.
Yep.
They're going to use, especially in the swinging states,
tons of lawyers. Tons of lawyers.
They're going to come in from every angle. There's going to be riots near the precincts that are critical for the Republicans and Republican districts, and they're going to be, you know, ideal conditions in Democratic precincts of these swing states, and they'll hold things up. They'll obfuscate or impede enough to get to the critical January 20th drop dead date, where the president must leave office if he hasn't been reelected, or there is no other president. Either way, he's got to leave office, and it'll be the hanging chad on steroids.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. The thing about it to me, though, that really irks me, Rick, is anyone taking a step back? I mean, you are, obviously. But, I mean, is anyone seriously taking a step back and saying, why does this have to be the case? Well, I mean, what other country in the world, and I don't know that any of them are more technologically advanced than we are, what other or has more experience with voting, what other country in the world goes through this? Why us and why now? You know, just Bill Barr gave an interview about a week or two ago with Wolf Blitzer and said one of the most simple and honest things I think could be said about this, commonsensical things that could be said about this when Wolf Blitzer was, you know, pushing mail-in voting. And Bill Barr just looked at him and said, you're playing with fire, Wolf. You're playing with fire. Truly, Rick, what other country has to go through these kinds of hand-wringings and questioning of itself? It's unnecessary.
I believe the concept of individual freedom is almost psychologically an enemy of these power-hungry personalities that want to control their world down to our last movement. They're sick people in the end, final analysis. They have to control everything in this country and the world, and they will not stop until they have a 1984-ish Orwellian world.
You know, you're right about that. We don't think about the ends to them and how the means justify the ends. an old Maoist perspective, right? Because it is eminently true. I spend time, Rick, whenever I stumble upon some kind of democratic value, freedom of speech, let's say. That's a big one for me. I go and play around on, or that's the wrong word. I search and research what the Marxist websites say about these things, what the socialist websites are saying about things like freedom of speech. And what one fails to understand is, and it makes perfect sense when you see what they're doing in the cancel culture and in the censorship that they employ and deploy on social media, is that freedom of speech to them is not a liberal experiment, small l, a liberal experiment in the competition of ideas. It's for the purpose exclusively of reaching their desired end. So they don't really have any problem with censoring ideas that they don't like. This is why the Soviet Constitution could speak of freedom of press and freedom of speech while not granting it. It was freedom of press and freedom of speech for the speech that matched, that met, that forwarded, that promulgated the desired end, right? Same with, I think the same point here has to be kept in mind with the way they're looking at the terms of our voting. They have a desired end, and to them, it's not a free and fair vote. It's the outcome of this vote. And I think we forget this at our peril. And it's only something recently I've been thinking about, I have to say, in my own negligence. You know, I guess in part because I was never so attuned to how in favor of censorship liberals could end up being, how the ACLU could become an organization that, my God, once defended Nazis, I think wrongly, but to show you their swath, their broad reach, they once defended Nazis, to where they are now outing and embarrassing and shaming people like Nick Sandman. It's a turn of theirs, as it's a turn of the liberals and the left, that freedom of speech and a lot of these norms we take for granted in a democracy are not about fairness. They are not about equality. They are not about reason. They are about outcome. They did it with jurisprudence. We did it with outcome-based jurisprudence. And now we do it with freedom of speech. And now we do it with voting. I think you could just count. You could just count the number of democratic norms and institutions that the left is ruining this way. Voting is now the latest.
Thank you. That was a great answer that shows that I believe you have it all.
The problem, though, I mean, we can recognize it, right? Recognizing it, as you do, Rick, is one issue, or as we do, is one thing. We have great lawyers in Arizona, I know we do, and nationally we have good ones. But we have, as a nation, got to come to terms with this and talk about this. I mean, why in heck do you need to change the voting procedures in states that have little experience with this 2 and 3 months and 1 month before the vote? You're playing with fire. You're playing with fire. And, of course, I don't think the Democrats would be even promoting it if they thought they had the winning argument for the election on November 3rd. Right, Rick? We both know that's right, too, don't we? Thank you for your call, sir. We'll be right back. For all your social and video media conferencing needs, I want you to check out Squad Pod. SquadPod.com/Seth is the website, SETH. Collaborate with all your teams, video conference, share files, chat, screen sharing, all privately. No tracking, no selling of customer profiles. They don't engage with third parties. It's a principled, American-made, owned, and operated company right here in Arizona. By principled, I mean they are committed to your privacy and to your free speech. SquadPod.com/Seth, and a lot of great fun features, too. I was just thinking about that last call with Rick in Phoenix. I was thinking about it in context of an earlier call we had today. Try and put these two things together, quoting Thomas Jefferson. You know, Thomas Jefferson's Tree of Liberty letter when he wrote it in Paris. He basically, you know, changed his views. Thomas Jefferson did a little bit on the radicalism of his point in that Tree of Liberty quote. By the time he was elected president in 1800, it was maybe the most important election of our early republic, because you had two complete opposite sides in a very very tough election, very personal and very ideological, completely peacefully changing power, changing leadership. And Thomas Jefferson became president in 1800's election. And in 1801, in his inaugural, he spoke of the jealous, quote, a jealous care of the right of election by the people, a jealous care. He called it a mild and safe corrective of abuses which are lopped by the sword of revolution. The sword of revolution is what changes the right of election by the people. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen, because it is true that the other things he mentioned in his inaugural, trials of habeas corpus, trial by juries impartially selected, he mentions freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. These are the norms. These are the benchmarks, the touchstones of anything wanting to call itself a democracy, or in our case, a republican form of government. And when they are outcome-based, that too is the sword of revolution. It's the sword of revolution. Go spend some time, as I do, on socialist and Marxist websites and look at what they say is the purpose of freedom of speech and the media and the press and journalism. It's not about fairness. It's not about equality. It's about fairness and equality as they understand it in the very realm of their ideology and to perpetuate it. It's not about a contest of ideas between Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives. It's about a contest of ideas about the revolution of the proletariat. Be right back.